Oh, praise God. I don't know about you, but the presence of the Lord is so thick in here right now, I think I could cut it with a knife. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I almost feel like I'm moving in slow motion up here. You know, this is what the world is. Glory to God. I'm going to tell you what. I experienced life with a party in life. I experienced many years of drug use and abuse, praise God. But I'm going to tell you now, there ain't nothing like getting hooched in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, it's real. You know, the Bible says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dispensation or dissipation. It's just bad. Hallelujah. But don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, see, God doesn't make comparisons unless there's something to compare it to. And you can be drunk in the Holy Ghost. I love it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, some of you might think that I'm a little bit goofy, but I'm telling you, I'm sold out. I'm a Holy Ghost lush. Hallelujah. I'm sold out to the flow of God. I've gotten filled with the Spirit. I've gotten refilled with the Spirit. I've gotten so immersed in the Spirit that I'm so saturated, I can't hardly stand. Hallelujah. I've been there. In fact, I was there last Wednesday night. Glory to God. We had a great service in Jamestown, great breaking free service. Hallelujah. Did some running around, did some all kinds of things that you ain't supposed to do in church, but we did them anyways. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And when I say you ain't supposed to do them in church, I just mean things that the religious, the stiff religious people that they don't like. They don't like hearing about. They don't like hearing. But you know something? Here's the thing. The Bible says that David, when he got revelation of something, he danced with all his might before the Lord. Praise God. Said he danced with all his might before the Lord. Said he hiked up his skirt. He hiked up his skirt. It wasn't a skirt. It was a robe or whatever it was they wear back then. But praise God, it looks like a skirt to me. He hiked up his skirt, and he danced with all his might, and his wife said, you're a fool. She said, you're a fool. Praise the Lord, I'll be a fool for the Lord. I don't mind being a fool for God. Hallelujah. You know why? Because God blesses me. Hallelujah. And I ain't afraid. I ain't afraid of being blessed by God. In fact, I want more blessing of God. Hallelujah. I want to walk in all the blessing of God. See, that's what he has for every child. Every child, you know, the Bible says that when the word is preached, people prosper. People increase. Hallelujah. And I'm not just saying that people get rich and stuff like that. You know, don't take what I'm saying out of context. But we understand that God wants us to prosper in all things. He wants us to be filled in every area of our life. You know, true godly prosperity, you know, people will think just about money, but true godly prosperity is so much more than just finances. Yeah, it's so much more than that. It's so much more. It's the fullness of joy. You know, the Bible says in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. Amen. Has anybody been full of joy before? Yeah. I'll tell you what, I want to be full of joy, and I want to be full of God's joy, because God's joy don't dissipate. God's joy don't disappear. It doesn't go away. It just stays. It remains. Why? Because in His presence, that's what He wants. Yeah. And He wants us in His presence. Yeah. That's why He gave us His Son, so we could enter His presence. Yeah. People think, oh, that's all that. That's some of that goofy talk again. Well, praise the Lord. If I'm goofy, I'll be a fool for Christ. Hallelujah. Because that's where I go. Amen. Glory to God. I mean, I was so set free. You know, people say whatever they want, but the Holy Spirit was good to people on Wednesday night. He let people get it. He let it happen a few times before people were finally getting it. But you know something? I broke out. When I broke out and I ran around and fell and did some other things, danced around and all the other things I did, rolled around on the floor and all kinds of stuff like that. But when I broke out and did that, I'm going to tell you what, the next couple days, a lot different than the days previous to that. You know, there's trial that comes at every man, but I'll tell you, in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. Well, I'll tell you what, I ain't never seen somebody enjoy who's sitting there looking like they've been sucking on lemons. I'm going to tell you today, there's people out here today that are sucking on lemons, looking like you're sucking on lemons. You might as well just get in the presence of the Lord and get full of joy. Praise God, because you ain't going to get there sucking on lemons. Listen, if you suck on lemons, it's your own fault.
That's right.
Amen? I ain't seen anybody suck on a lemon, they didn't choose to suck on it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So if you want to be a sucky Christian, yeah, amen, hallelujah. If you want to be a sucky Christian, then you just sit there sucking on your lemons, and you're going to have what sucking on lemons gets. You can get a sour face, and nobody's going to want to look at you. Nobody wants to look at that. Nobody wants to look at your scowls. Nobody wants to look at your bad looks. Everybody wants to look at a smiling face, amen. You want people who like you. The Bible says if you want friends, you got to show yourself friendly. You can't show yourself friendly if you look like you've been sucking on lemons. Amen. You can't get friends by looking like a bulldog. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Just put out there. Praise God. We got to get excited about the word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, God is good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, today we're talking about a more prosperous way. Today, it was very clear in me this week that I was to teach on the prosperity of God. Amen. And like I was saying in my introduction, the prosperity of God isn't just what people always think when they hear the word prosperity. When people hear prosperity, they automatically think of finances. And finances are included in this. I will always say that because I want people to know it's not separate. But the true prosperity of God, finances is such a small part of it. But see, the problem is a lot of people are focused on finances. A lot of people are focused on that small part, and they're missing the whole. Yeah. See, God didn't have any problem blessing you with finances. And if you would just learn to get in His Word and to get connected to His Word, that stuff will just come. You don't even have to worry about it. You don't even have to think about it. He's saying it's so small, so minute, that you ain't even got to touch it in your thoughts, Jesus said. He said, don't worry about it. He says, if you start worrying about it, look at the birds. Because the birds will show you. Your heavenly Father takes care of them. And you're more valuable than they are, so He's going to take care of you. Amen. That's what He said. Hallelujah. So you ain't got to worry about that. But see, so many people, especially in this world, in our society, spend so much time focused on their finances that they lose everything else. They will do things out of financial obligation, and they will lose what God had for them all the whole time. True prosperity of God. The true prosperity of God doesn't cover one area. It covers every area of your life. Every area. The true prosperity of God. You see, I was talking with Pastor Michael recently, a couple weeks ago, and he said something really awesome to me. He said, you know, when the Abrahamic blessing shows up in your life, he's like, there is no one who can even claim that it was a church that gave it to you. Yeah. Because it encompasses so much. Yeah. Amen? It covers so much stuff. That you can't just say, well, they just got this. The true Abrahamic blessing. Now I'm talking about. Now, not everybody even knows what that is. Not everybody walks, and that's fine. We're going to talk about some of that today. Amen. We're going to start here in Psalm 16:11, and I quoted this a few minutes ago. Psalm 16:11 says, you show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. At your right hand or pleasure, you will show me the path of life. The path of life. What is this? This is the way to go. When it says the path of life, it's that I'm not just going to show you the way to live. I'm not just going to show you the way to live. I'm going to show you how to live in the blessing of the Lord. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, I'm not just going to show you how to get up and how to breathe and how to eat and how to tie your shoes and wash your face. I'm going to teach you how to live in the presence of God where there's a fullness of joy. I'm going to teach you how to live in the prosperity of God where you never worry about a single thing. I'm going to teach you how to live in the healing of God because that's included in the prosperity of God where you don't have to worry about sickness and disease. I'm going to teach you how to live in the fullness of God. That's the path of life. You see, we could read over this casually and miss everything that God is saying right there. You will show me the path to life, the way to live. Praise the Lord. What does the Bible say? My wife was reading it so eloquently today. Hallelujah. In fact, I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, man, somebody put sugar in her Wheaties this morning. Hallelujah. Glory, she was fired up about it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But the Bible says if you live in my word, this is the path to life, living in the word of God, getting it in you, getting it so it comes out of you. This is why life works for me now. This is why that I see increase and I see abundance in every area of my life. This is why my children serve God. This is why my family serves God. This is why we are after it with everything we got. This is why people treat us better than they should. Why? Because God, this is what God does in people that follow Him. It isn't because I'm a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher to get this. All you got to do is minister to the Lord. Yeah. You know, just like we were doing there, that song, Worship the King, it's about praising God. The presence of God literally was falling in here. It was literally meeting us right here. And if you couldn't sense it, man, you got to check your spiritual pulse. Yeah. But it was literally falling in. Because the Bible says that He inhabits the praises of His people. Hallelujah. He will show me the path of life in your presence. David knew this. In your presence is the fullness of joy. The fullness of joy. The fullness of joy. I'm going to tell you what. I dare say this. Ain't one of us in here that's been in the fullness of joy. Not in God's fullness. Why? Because if you get into it once, you won't ever want to get out of it. Amen. The fullness of joy is when it doesn't matter what is going on around you. The fullness of joy is why Paul and Silas could sing praises unto God when they had been beaten and whipped and put into the inner prison, into stocks. They've been chained in there. And that's why they could sing, because they were full of the presence of God. Listen, this is what Christians need. This is what people need in the trial. You need the fullness of joy. You need God. You need, and then you should tap into that through praise. Praise God. See, this is just an example of how we do it. Amen. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Forevermore. Pleasures. What's pleasing to the to humans? Now listen, we can't take the word of God and twist it, make it something that it's not. We're not saying that you can go out and live any way you want. That's stupid. Because if you live any way you want, that's stupid. Hallelujah. You can't live opposite the word of God and then expect pleasures forevermore from God. It isn't going to happen. This is why so many Christians fail, because they say they love God. They act like, I don't think it was this week's, but I think it's for next week. I haven't quite finished it yet. But it's a great faith fix. It was inspired of God. But I was saying that, you know, Christians, they act like sometimes Christians act like they do God a favor by being in church. He created church for us. He made it for us. He gave us pastors. He gave us the ministry offices. He gave us Jesus. We aren't doing him a favor by coming to him. He did us the favor. We need to get that mindset out of our head that it is not optional to partake of God whenever it's convenient for you to partake of him. And if you aren't partaking of him all the time, it is convenient to you to do so. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's exactly what you're telling God. If you're here one week and not here next week for frivolous reasons, if you come to church and you don't come to church, you are being convenient with God, and you will never have the blessing that he has intended for you. You'll never walk it out. It isn't about being in bondage and being in church. For God's sakes, anybody who thinks being in church is bondage has no idea. They have no revelation of Jesus Christ, what he did, what he paid for. They have no revelation of what God wants for them. No idea of this stuff. It is not troublesome to be in a church service. People in the world don't understand. They're like, why do you go to church so much? Because in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy, and I want to be full of joy. Hallelujah. I lived enough in the world where I didn't have the joy of the Lord. I lived enough in the world where I experienced the pain of people doing things to me all the time that were wrong, and people coming against me and everything failing. I lived enough in that mess. I've been bit enough. I don't want to be bit no more. That's why I go to church. Hallelujah. Because I know God assembles there. I know when his people come together that there's power that can change things. Hallelujah. And when I bring my part, it pleases God. And I want to please God because my God paid the price for me. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'll go all the way for this person, for each and every one of us. You need to consider that. Christian, as you live your life, what keeps me doing right? Every time, I'm tempted just as you are. What keeps me doing right when I do right? It's the understanding of what Jesus did for us. It's the understanding of the price that he paid. His blood means something to me. And so I don't want to just trample over it like it means nothing. Glory to God. You got all that on one scripture. I don't know why you guys got me on all this, but pray. Praise God. Hallelujah. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Joshua 1:8. Now these are some scriptures. Okay, brother, can you bring me down just a hair? I just got a little bit of ringing up here. Thank you. Hallelujah. Joshua 1:8. Praise God. This goes right along with what my wife was talking about, John 8:31 and 32. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. It shall not depart from your mouth. Boy, that's interesting, isn't it? The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. If you are not meditating in the word, you are not acting like a Christian. If you are not, like, listen, you can fool people. You think you fool people by coming to church, but if you ain't meditating in the word, if you ain't doing the word, if you aren't endeavoring to follow God, you ain't no more a Christian than that car out there is. you ain't no more a Christian than this pulpit is. Hallelujah. That's the truth. You ain't a Christian and you're in danger of hellfire. You gotta consider these things. I don't care if you've been going to church for 10,000 years. It does not matter. It does not matter if you were baptized 25 times through your entire life. Those things will not save you. Your actions will or they will not. Amen? Glory to God. You shall meditate in a day and night. Observe to do all according or do according to all that is written in it. For then, everybody say then. Yes. When does then come? After. Then comes after. For then, after you do that, after you meditate in the word day and night, after you let it not depart from your mouth, but you keep speaking the word over your situation, you keep speaking the word over your life. If you're dealing with sickness, and you speak the word on healing. If you're dealing with finances, you speak the word on finances. If you're dealing with opposition, you speak the word against opposition. You just speak the word. For then, look at this, you will make your way what? Prosperous. You will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Praise God. I've been asked before, how come you can be so happy? Because God is making my way prosperous, and I'm having good success. Amen. Hallelujah. How do I know I'm having good success? Because the Lord has directed me on things, and I follow after Him. Then I have good success. It works out. It just does. I don't know how. It just does. Why? Because of Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now that book, the word law sometimes would trip people up. That law, word law literally is direction, instruction, direction, human or divine, body of prophetic teaching. Think about that. Direction, human or divine. Human or divine. If I am directing you according to the word of God, this is exactly what this is applying to. The book of the law, the book of the law literally is the word that's coming out of my mouth right now. Because I'm preaching the law. I'm preaching the word of God. I'm preaching the truth. The law is just the way that things work. Amen? Praise God. But you know, you say that word prosperous, a lot of people get tripped up, like I said, over that word prosperity or prosperous. But that word, if you look that up, it's the condition of being successful or thriving. Economic well-being. Success, profitability, affluence, wealth, opulence, luxury, the good life, milk and honey, good fortune, ease, plenty, comfort, security, well-being. This is what doing this. Why would people not want this? Why would people not want the way of the Lord? This is what it means. The world doesn't understand all the time. I've and heckled before, like, oh, like blah 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 blah. You just have that because the church gives it to you, or because this or that. No, I don't get blessed because the church gives me anything. I get blessed because I follow the Lord. Amen. My blessing is because I serve God and I follow Him, and He blesses me as a result of that. There's no Christian that isn't able to walk in this. No Christian. It's all about a choice, and we see that there, amen? But I love that. Good fortune. You know, good fortune, I remember I lived a life where I had much bad fortune. You know what I mean by bad fortune? Like where everything, it just seemed like everything went to pot. Everything failed. I mean, everything did. Even the simplest things, I had the best intentions, simplest things, they failed. Why? I wasn't doing things God's way. I was doing things my way. Sooner or later, a fool gets tired of failing. Sometimes they go to their grave failing. Yeah. There's so many Christians that are absolute fools because they fail when Jesus paid for them to prosper. Jesus made them prosper and Christians fail, and then they blame God. They come up with stupid doctrine that isn't based in Scripture, but other stupid Christians believe it because it's a bunch of stupidity, and hey, that's the way it is. You know, like it's just sometimes idiots want to follow idiots, praise the Lord. That's the way that it goes. People are just like, yeah, they just get into stuff. They're like, oh, I'll go this way because the other sheep are going that way. Yeah. Well, where's the shepherd? Keep your eyes on the shepherd. The shepherd will show you what's right. Yeah. The Bible always shows us what's right. That's why somebody can preach something good, and then they can preach something bad, and they go, wait a minute, that ain't Scripture. That ain't Word. But people get mad because I preach stuff like this. You know what I say? Get mad. Get mad. Oh, I like it when people get mad because you preach the truth. Get mad. I don't care. Praise the Lord. Ain't no skin off my back. Why? Because I'm in a prosperous life. I'm in ease. Hallelujah. I'm in milk and honey. Amen. I like milk and I like honey. Praise God. I like milk with honey in it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ever have cereal with milk and honey? Hallelujah. That's good stuff. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Plenty, comfort, security, well-being. Yeah, I don't know how many people are afraid. I remember my mom back in the day. My mom is such a wonderful example of the goodness of God. Woman, she was always a wonderful person, always a wonderful mother. She taught us so the best that she knew how. But the one thing that she lacked was the direction of God. But she always believed in God. You know what I mean? Which helped a lot. And she always pointed us back towards that. But I remember when back in the day, I lived a rough life, and my mom knew that I was living a rough life. And every time I left, she was scared. Every time I left. And she would say, she would always, be careful, watch for deer. That was one of her famous sayings. Be careful, watch for deer. One time, she didn't say it to me, and I actually hit two deer. Praise the Lord. But my point is that she was always nervous, she was always a wreck about things, and always, you know, because she loved so much, she cared so much. I'm not talking down about my mom, because my mom didn't stay there. My mom, she's one of the great women of faith right now, because she decided to hook up to the Word and not go back. And so she gets fed the Word, and she believes the Word, and she prays in the Spirit. Yeah, this sweet little lady over here, she prays in tongues. Praise God, hallelujah. She does all kinds of crazy things like that. But you know what? She's blessed. She has the blessing of the Lord working in her life. Why? Because not just because she's pretty, not just because she's awesome, but because she follows God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's the difference. Amen, amen, amen. But my point was is that she has security now. She doesn't pray. She doesn't ask. She might do that with my brothers. Praise God. But she doesn't do that with me no more. No. Why? She knows. She knows that I have the security of God. My mom isn't surprised when she knows that I'm doing well. Why? Because she knows I follow God. Yeah. Amen? It's the only difference. Before, she didn't know that. She couldn't know that. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. Look at this. 3 John 1:2. Praise God. You can turn there if you want. 3 John is after 2 John, which is after 1 John. And if you're in John, that's not the Johns we're talking about. You got to go farther back to 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. 3 John is real short. Amen? Glory to God. But there's lots of good stuff in there, including verses like this. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. Everybody say all things.
All things.
What are all things include? All things. Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. You know what? Your soul is your mind. When the Bible talks about the soul, it's talking about the mind. Amen? How is your soul prospering? Well, the Bible says that we renew our mind. We have to renew our mind through the Word. When your mind is renewed, you're living in the Word. You're making utmost importance in your life. And you shall know the truth. Where do you know? You know in your mind. And so you know in your mind the truth. And then the truth sets you free. Your soul is prospering. Hallelujah. What does a bound mind think? I don't know what I'm going to do. My kids are leaving. I don't know if I can believe. Are they going to be okay? Is everything going to be? This is the mind. This is the realm of the mind. I don't know how we're going to get beyond this. I don't know how we're going to get to that. I don't know how da 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 da. That's the mind not prospering. Your soul prospering is just knowing being secure in knowing who your God is. Amen. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. Paul said, or John said, who's it, Paul, John? I don't know. John, it's probably John. Amen. But John said, I want you to prosper in all things. Amen. All things. There's nothing I don't want you prospering in, so I'm praying that. How many know that John was a godly man?
Yeah.
Amen. He was one of the apostles. He knew the direction of Christ. Praise the Lord. He was right there with Jesus. He understood what the Lord wanted. He wasn't praying. Listen, it matters to know how to pray.
Yeah.
One of the problems with people is that they don't know how to pray, and this is why they get into trouble. So, Lord, if it be your will, heal me. That's not praying right, and you'll never have that answered. It is God's will to heal us. He told us, Lord, over and over and over again in his will. So you never pray, Lord, if it be your will to heal me. You know it's his will, so then you pray his will. And when you pray his will, then you have those things because you can be sure because the word says so. So that's how you do it. You pray his will, amen? But see, John wouldn't just pray things that weren't his will. He knew that it was God's will that we prosper. How do we know that? Because though he was very rich, for our sakes he became poor, that we, through his poverty, might be made rich. Isn't that what the word says? Talking about Jesus? What's his will? That we prosper. So therefore, it's not wrong for John to say, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper." See, so many Christians pray. So often they pray kind of with this stab in the dark kind of roulette wheel kind of faith, like, if I pray, maybe it'll happen, maybe I won't. If that's the way that you pray, you're praying wrong, and you'll never have what God has for you. God says to know what the will of the Lord is. He said, know what the will of the Lord is. Know what it is. If he's saying know what it is, then there's got to be a way to know what it is. Praise God. Why do I do things the way that I do them instead of the way that I want them? Because I endeavor to know what the will of the Lord is for my life and for this situation or for that situation or for whatever. That's why I don't want to buy a house, buy a car, buy anything without consulting the Lord. Why? Because if I consult God and he tells me it's right, then I always know there's provision there to do it. But see, so many Christians are living their life in such a way that they're like, I want to do this and I want to do that. And then they're saying, Lord, bless this. They're saying, Lord, help me with this. And he's saying, I can't help you with that because you didn't consult me. This isn't in my will for you. This is leading you astray. Yeah. Listen, if something leads you away from the house of God, it's leading you astray. Yeah. If you spend more time out of the house of God than you do in the house of God, you're led astray. You're deceived. You're bringing Satan into your home. This is what you're doing. You understand? Now, you can sit here and think that I'm making suggestions, but the truth of the matter is I'm not making suggestions. I'm preaching the Word of God. See, the problem is Christians don't get connected with the Word of God, and then their life falls apart, and then they blame God for it. I know that I say this often, but we got to say it often and over and over and over again because people just still don't believe it. How do I know? Because people still do the same things they always do. When I see you doing the same thing and giving the same excuses, I know that God's word has not gotten into you yet. And so I got to preach the same things over and over and over and over again. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Well, it's the truth. Amen. We don't preach it because we hate. We preach it because we love. We want people to get it because when people get it, then they live in the prosperity of God. My goal, my entire goal is that every person in this church lives full of the prosperity of God. I'm going to tell you right now, there isn't one of you that would come in here with a new vehicle and I wouldn't rejoice with you. There isn't one of you that would buy a new house, a better house than you ever imagined, and I wouldn't rejoice with you. There isn't one of you that would be healed and I wouldn't rejoice with you. Hallelujah. There isn't one of you whose children started serving God and I wouldn't rejoice with you. Why? Because that's what the goal of my life is. I want people to live in the prosperity and the health and the love of God. I want people to be so saturated with God that they find what I've found, that they find that they don't have to be bound up no more, that they don't have to be misdirected anymore. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I blamed everything for the mess that I got into in my life. I blamed the fact that my father wasn't there. I blamed the fact that I wasn't taken to church enough. I blamed this and I blamed that. I blamed all kinds of things. But you see, the thing is with God, is when you get hooked up with God, it doesn't matter what came before you. It doesn't matter what got you where you got. All that matters is where you're going. See, that's what the great thing about the Word of God is. It's a great equalizer. It will take you no matter where you were, and it will put you on a path if you follow it, if you follow it, if you follow it, if you follow it, if you continue on, if you choose to go on. But if you don't choose to go on, it ain't going to help you. This is all a joke. If you choose not to do the Word of God, it's a joke. It becomes a joke to you. You might as well not even bother if you won't do the Word, because the Word is what sets people free. The Word is what makes people prosper. Listen, it is a great joy of mine to see people who have come in and their lives have changed so dramatically in just short period of time. It is a great joy. There is no greater joy. It is a rush to me. Hallelujah. That's why I do what I do. That's why we do what we do. Hallelujah. Great glory to God. Hallelujah. And all the things. And see, sometimes we just got to be patient for the things that we want. Yeah, sometimes you can't have, you know, sometimes it's good to teach your kids you can't have everything. I fully believe in the full prosperity of God, that God wants us wealthy, that God wants us so saturated with his wealth in all areas of our life that everybody just looks at us and say, man, I want what they've got. I believe that wholeheartedly. But I also believe it's important to teach my kids that they can't have everything they want. Sometimes you need to just wait. Sometimes you need to put that on a shelf for a while, because guess what? The world isn't about having it your way. They think that it is. They want to teach that it is, but it isn't all about you, and it isn't all about your way. Hallelujah. Oh, don't get me going on this, but it's the truth. Praise the Lord. It's the truth. Hallelujah. And it'll save lives. I teach my kids that you put it before God and you believe God for it. There's things that, you know, I have a 20-year-old. There's things that he wants in his life so greatly. And I say, you just keep it before God and you follow him and you'll find it. You'll find it. You won't go without it. You ain't got to worry about it. But see, what happens is people start thinking, well, I'm not getting it fast enough. It's not happening fast enough. I don't know what I'm going to do. I want this, but I'm not seeing it. Well, praise the Lord. The Bible says through faith and patience we obtain the promises of God. Amen? Praise God. Proverbs 3, 5, 6. 5 through 6. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God, Pastor Jeff. You're preaching real good today. Hallelujah. It's a good word. Hallelujah. I'm going to come over here. I'm going to come over here and get it. There we go. All right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Setting people free. Hallelujah. Getting people rich. Getting people full. Hallelujah. Who wants to be full? Anyone in here don't want to be full? Anybody ever looked at a real good meal? You sit down at a restaurant, you pay big, good money for a real good meal, you sit down there and you think, I'm just going to have a bite. Anybody like that? Ain't none of you like that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. I ain't being judgmental. I'm just saying that people, we're a well-fed church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Beloved, oh, we're not on that scripture. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he's going to direct your paths. He will direct your paths. He's going to lead you in the path of life. What's the path of life? We're the fullness of joy. Presence of the Lord, fullness of joy. He's going to direct you there. Now, people think all the time, you know, listen, there is principle in the word that there is times where you will be led into the wilderness. But if God leads you into the wilderness, it's because there's something on the other side that he's bringing you to. And that wilderness will work for you if you don't become a whiny baby and give up. Yeah. The wilderness sometimes stinks. It doesn't feel good. Sometimes the wilderness. Jesus went into the wilderness, and Satan was after him the entire time. You ever been in a place like that where it feels like the devil just after you? He got your number, and he's just after you. You don't think you can do it anymore? You're in the wilderness, child of God. So what are you going to do? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Because he directs my path. He's taking me out. He's taking me in. He's taking me through the storm to the other side. I ain't worried about it. Amen. Praise the Lord. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he shall. What does it mean in all your ways, acknowledge him? It's real easy. If you can do it to the glory of God, you're acknowledging him. Praise God. Praise the Lord. If you can go before the Lord, you say, I can do this to the glory of God. It's a real easy way to get yourself out of trouble. You're like, I don't know what to do. Well, can you do it to the glory of God? If Jesus was standing before you, would you do it? Praise the Lord. If your pastor was standing before you, would you do it? You got to ask yourself these things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, it's the truth. Sometimes I've been doing something real bad, and I remember, wait a minute, because this is the truth. Jesus is watching me. He is with me. The Holy Spirit, a whole company of angels are watching you. Everything you do. Everything you do. Amen. I know it's weird. I hope they turn their eyes sometimes. But you know, when you're doing bad stuff, so they're not. They're seeing it. People watch. Or not people, but you know, it's like it's people watching you talking about it. Like, what the heck are they doing? You know, the Bible says that the angels watch us in amazement. Do you know that? The angels watch us in amazement. They don't understand. It's like we're like an enigma to them when they look at us, because God created us different than he created angels. And so they watch us in amazement, and I think that sometimes that amazement is like, what the heck, man? Like, Todd, where's my gravel? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. That's just a joke, you know. That only works in Mayville, New York, maybe Sherman, New York, if we had a church there, But praise God, hallelujah. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, what the heck's going on here? Like, Jesus paid for everything for them. He did all this stuff for them. And look how they're doing. What they're doing. I don't know if angels can say idiots, but I'm pretty sure that they do. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? They look at people and say, why? You guys are goofy. What are you doing? Jesus gave you everything. And see, you're sitting there. Like, you know how many, this is true. Do you know how many people are sitting there sobbing? Christians sobbing before the Lord. Lord, why won't you do this? Why won't you do this? Why won't you do this? And there's a whole heavenly host looking down on them going, like the word of God. If you would just open your Bible and read what it says, you wouldn't be asking that question. You'd be taking your authority. You'd be claiming. You'd be claiming what's yours in the name of Jesus. You see, that's a difference. Like, these Christians, the ones that wrote the Bible, these Christians, they had the power of God. They had the authority of God. They knew who they were in God. They weren't sitting around whining. They were sitting there doing. Amen? They were the ones that were going out on the street, walking up to people, laying hands on them, and having ears grow back and eyes come out and stuff like that. Man, Paul was raised people from the dead. He said, they said, the Bible tells us that Paul's shadow, as it crossed, he was so full of the Holy Spirit that when his shadow would cross people, they would be healed. Do you understand what I'm saying here? There are a lot of Christians, we're just trying to keep them coming to church. There are a lot of Christians, we're just trying to keep them doing what's right. Just live right. I mean, it's such a crazy concept, but just live right. It's like there's churches full of people. And I don't understand it. I don't understand this concept of just doing whatever tickles your flesh. That's what got you in all the trouble you ever got into anyways, and you still want to do that? What's wrong? Come on, get up out of it, Christians. We need to wake up to our lives, and I'm talking to myself too. There's times where I just want to do what I always did, and so I do that. But you got to fight through it. You got to get out of it, because all it's going to do is hold you down, and it's going to keep His kingdom from growing. Praise the Lord. We want the power of God, but we're not willing to do anything for it. Praise the Lord. There's places in this world where people are killed because they profess the same things we're saying today. You take Americans there, so such a bunch of wishy-washy, whiny babies. It's ridiculous. Yeah, but you have all these brave protesters standing up and saying this and saying this. But I'm going to tell you what right now. You put a gun to most of their head and say, "What do you believe now, homeboy?" And I'm going to tell you, it's going to change. Yeah. It's going to change. Yeah, because that's the truth. That's the way people are. They're wishy-washy. Yeah. They don't stand in the things. They don't stand for any kind of principle anymore. That's what made this country great. What's ripping it apart is a bunch of liberal idiots that run around here saying things that they have no idea what they're talking about. Oh, you just do whatever you want to do and you'll be fine. Where has that ever worked in humanity? Glory to God. Oh, you got me going right now. I'm telling you, I'm going to come back to you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I didn't even wake up nice today. I'm telling you right now, I wake up fired up today. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. They spiked my Wheaties. Hallelujah. I didn't have no Wheaties. That's why I'm so mad. Hallelujah. I'm hangry. Praise the Lord. I ain't hangry. I'm just kidding. Praise God, hallelujah. Glory to God. But see, God wants us to get, He wants us to get the truth, because when we get the truth, if people just get the truth, I know I preach it loud, I preach it bold, and that's okay. Why? Because when I preach it loud and preach it bold, you get it. Yeah. When I preach it loud and I get in your face and I say it, you get it. Yeah. And you start looking at the world and you say, wait a minute. See, because it doesn't take a genius to figure out that everything they do out there fails. Yeah. Everything they're doing out there, it ain't working. Right. Well, listen, New York State is a great example of what the wrong kind of government will do. Praise the Lord. Ain't nobody running for election today, so I think I can say this. Well, thank God for President Trump, because he made it so I could say this anyways. I think I can say this. Maybe I can't. If I can't, I'll get in trouble. Praise the Lord. I'll deal with it later. But all I'm telling you is this, that this state is full of example of how that kind of government doesn't work. Overtaxed. Nobody has, the jobs are leaving. Praise God. Hallelujah. You just look at everything that we got in this state, and that's what you get from all that stuff. Praise the Lord. You know, there's another one, like California. Same way. Oh, we can't have guns. We don't want you to be able to say, well, we want everybody to use every bathroom that they stink and want to use. Come on now. Seriously. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you right now, I'm going to go back to this again. I will never be okay with a man walking into a bathroom with my little girl. I will never be okay with that. Why? Because it's disgusting. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm not talking about being mad at them. I know they got problems. I understand that. But there was a time when we said that people got problems. Instead of just masking it over and saying, well, everybody's problems, that's just them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, so can I be a golden retriever today? If I walk down the street and start peeing on telephone poles, is that okay? Is that acceptable? Is that acceptable? Well, I mean, that's what I identify with. I identify. Do you know there's people that actually identify, they're saying they identify with animals? I ain't lying. I ain't lying. And people want to go the way of Europe, man. Europe did so bad, we had to start a whole other country just to get away from them, and everybody wants to go back to them. Yeah. It's like, what's wrong with people? Come on now. If you want Europe so bad, that's fine. Just move there and see how great it is. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Let the Americans stay here. People who are, praise God, hallelujah. I'll say this too, you know, it makes me mad that people don't stand for things anymore. You know, when people, they kneel for things like the flag because they think they're making some wise protest. That's not some wise protest. You understand what that flag stands for?
Freedom.
Freedom, exactly. Amen. Hallelujah. I know it's a little bit political, but glory to God, I'm going to go down that road because you got to know these things. Because they aren't trampling on some racist or something like that. What they're trampling on are the men and women who give their life every single day for this country. That's what they're trampling on. They're trampling for people like my grandfather, who was so messed up when he got out of the war that he had a hard time just living in this country, hallelujah, with some things, because of the things that he saw and the things that he went through. That's what those people are trampling on. That's why it fires people like me up, because there's some people that still have standards around here. And if you side with all that stuff, if you listen to all this garbage news and you start thinking, and I don't care, it's all a bunch of just, it's just another whole, oh, praise God, how do you get me on this? You know, if you turn on the TV and they tell you what's going on and you believe it, now come on now. Now everybody knows that the TV is wrong. Even the weathermen aren't right. We can't even believe the weathermen, and they're scientists. We can't even believe them. So you know what? Why do we even look at the weather? Why do we even do that? We look at the weather, and they say, like, I remember one day it's like bright and sunny, and it's like pouring down. I'm like, what's going on? Hallelujah. Maybe they need Google. I don't know. Galatians 3:29. Hallelujah. We're just swiping the floor clean. But you know, people say, well, I don't know why you got to do this in church and stuff like that. See, because it starts in places like this. Do you know this country? There was a time when this country, there was a time where the church was the most prized building in town. Do you know in Fredonia, when they built the Fredonia church, that people that didn't even go to church helped build that church and make it nice? Why? Because it mattered to people. Because they understood. And now what happens? When we came to this town, we got a church going. We want to get into a building. And they start telling us things like, they literally start telling me things like, we don't need another church in this town. But see, they didn't want a place here for people to get helped. Because churches stopped helping people somewhere along the line. And that's why churches and Christians start looking like fools, because at some point they stop being what God, they stop walking in the prosperity of God. They stop. That's what we're talking about today, right? We're talking about the prosperity of God, hallelujah. Well, all this stuff is there. Why do you think this nation was so great so fast? Because it was built on the principles of God. All our laws, the initial laws, the Constitution, is based on the idea that all men were created equal, right? Under God. Praise the Lord. It was on our money. It was everywhere. This country's all the principles. Now listen, there's things like slavery. Yeah, slavery was terrible. But every nation in the world has had slavery of some kind. Every group of people has been enslaved at some point. I said this before, I'll say it again. The Jews have been in slavery, were in slavery much longer than any other group. Praise the Lord, but it's the truth. So we understand, I'm not advocating things like that, but what I am saying is this, that this country was built on the principles of God, and that's why it was so successful. That's why a country in 200 years could go from being nothing to being the most powerful nation in the world. Why? Because it's here doing the work of the Lord. This country spends more money, funds the gospel, or has traditionally funded more gospel than any other nation in the world. Why do you think the prosperity of God? Of course it works. Of course it works. I'll tell you what, a town that gets hooked up with the prosperity of God, praise the Lord, the people in the town, you people will be flocking to come to this town, hallelujah. I'll tell you what, right now, if this church could just get hold of the prosperity of God, I'm going to tell you what, we can't build buildings big enough to keep people in them. Yeah, that's the truth, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There won't be empty buildings with no businesses in them. There won't be businesses failing. Businesses will prosper because they got to keep feeding the people of God, because there's got to be somebody pouring into your life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. And people walk around and say, I don't know what it is about them Mayvillians, but them people are happy, they're smiling, they're prosperous, everything they touch works. Man, they start a business and it grows. They buy a car, they're the best cars in the world. They everything they do is good. Man, they farm, they get the nicest crops, they get the nicest corn, whatever it is they do. Because the Bible says that whatever we put our hands to prospers. Whatever we put our hands to prospers. Why? Because that's what God does. And that's an example of the country. So wrapping it all up, bringing it all back around. That's why this nation has prospered so much. Because it was built on the idea, listen, it's not the men and women in the country are not perfect. But I'm going to tell you, we went to Independence Hall, right? It was Independence Hall in Philadelphia. If you ever get a chance to do it, do it. But we went down there, and that was where where they debated the Constitution of the United States. They debated it back and forth, and I loved our tour guide. He was just so awesome. He said to us, he's like, there's never been a document that has been so perfect that it still applies. Even this many years afterwards, it still applies, other than the Bible, of course. But that's not really a document. You understand there's a difference. But that's exactly because it was based on the... Listen, you cannot change the fact that the law of this land was based on the law of God. It was based on the law of God. It was everywhere. I mean, so the people, like a huge number of the people that framed our constitutions were ministers. Well, praise the Lord. And we're not talking wishy-washy ministers that they, you know... Praise God. And I know bad things happen. You know, you had people that just, you know, they killed people because they called them witches and stuff like that. And they had all kinds of different, you know, things that happen. People aren't perfect. You know what I mean? But I'll say this again, though. And I'll bring this up. And you share this with all your friends. Anybody who ever says something to you. Because like those Christians, I don't like those Christians, this and that, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, you don't stop going to Walmart because there's a bunch of bad people who go to Walmart. You don't stop going shopping at the mall because there's a bunch of bad people who go to the mall. Praise the Lord. You still use Google. They do a lot of stupid things. You know what I mean? There's all kinds of things out there that people get into that they don't realize aren't for people. You know what I mean? But we look for the underlying truth, and we have to filter through the wackos, right? Praise God. Galatians 3:29 says, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This is important. If you are Christ, if you belong to him, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What's an heir? Somebody who inherits, right? It means that whatever they left behind, that's for you, right? So we are heirs according to the promise. What was the promise of Abraham? I'm glad you asked. Praise God. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. This is the promise to Abraham. Hallelujah. And his people. And this is what the heirs get. And if you're heirs, then you get this. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 28:1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commands. Now I want to tell you this here. I'm going to bring this up again. We read scriptures all the time that talk about obeying the voice of the Lord, obeying the word, doing what the word says. My wife read one last night. Do not be hearers of the word only, but be doers of it, found in James. You know, the Bible is very clear about this stuff. And so we have to take this to heart. We have to hear what it's saying. The people of God only walked into the promised land when they went according to the word of the Lord. When they followed the commandments of God, that's when they saw the blessing. Only then. When they didn't, they didn't. But when they did, they did. We are heirs according to the promise. Here's the promise. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. This country was set high above all nations of the earth. Now, some people like to get into this mess. They're like, oh, well, we stole it from so-and-so. Well, listen. People always stole stuff. You know what I mean? The people that lived here before, they stole it from other people. And those people stole it from people. And people in Europe, they stole it from people. That's the way things used to. I'm not saying that was all right. We could have lived here. We could have coexisted here. Praise the Lord. And I know it doesn't matter because my skin is white, but I do have some Indian in my ancestry. But because they don't look like it, doesn't matter to most people. But my point is that we don't identify with all that stuff. Praise God. We identify with God. We identify with Christ. Great equalizer. Doesn't matter if you're black, white, red, green, orange. It doesn't matter what you look like. God's a great equalizer. Didn't matter if you were poor. Didn't matter if you started off rich. Didn't matter if your daddy was president. Didn't matter if your daddy, you didn't know your daddy. Doesn't matter. God's a great equalizer. He's a great equalizer. Wherever you start, he'll take you high. Why? Because right here, I will set you, God, your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. I love that. They're not just going to come to you. They're not just going to come on you, but they're going to overtake you. Praise God. You serve a blessing kind of God. You're serving a God who just wants to bless your socks off. You serve a God who wants you to be increased so much that it's obvious to everybody that you can't be doing it yourself. It's perplexing to people when they see me prosper today in my life. Why? Because everybody who knew me knew that how much I didn't prosper. They knew how much I failed. I only prosper by following God, by the way. Only by following God. Praise the Lord. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. You notice you have to obey the voice of the Lord your God. I'm going to say this. There's people that are so distracted with stuff. If you don't get a chance, if you get a chance to listen to Wednesday service in Jamestown, you should. There are people who are so distracted by stuff today that they couldn't hear the voice of God if he was standing with a megaphone in front of them. They're so distracted by everything. If you're distracted by stuff, then you understand that you fall into that line. I was convicted myself. I was distracted too. I am distracted at times. There's lots of times where I'm distracted. We have to watch that stuff. Listen, it's easy to just pick up the phone and start looking at it. It's easy to start getting on the internet and start looking at things. But listen, you know, praise God, hallelujah. There's a time to listen. And if you don't learn how to hear from God, you'll never go in the way that he wants you to. Now, God will speak to you. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds. It's like everything, basically all this, we're going to read it all, and some of it you may understand or you may not understand, but you can basically mark it up to this, that it's everything in every area of life. This is the blessing of the Lord. This is what he's promised to his people. The increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall your basket, shall be your basket, your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. I love that. I'm coming in, I'm blessed. I'm going out, I'm blessed. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter which way I go, I'm blessed. Hallelujah. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. Praise the Lord. You ever had an enemy? You ever have somebody stand up against you? You ever have somebody talk bad about you? You ever have people come down on you for no reason? Well, look at what he said. He said he'll cause them to be defeated before your face. That means you get to watch. You get to watch, hallelujah. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. You know what that is? That's like getting out at all costs, amen? That means they came in the front door, but they're so scared when they got in there that they're finding their own way out, praise the Lord. And they ain't waiting for their buddy either. They're like, I'm out of here because the blessing of the Lord is on that person, hallelujah. This is what it means to prosper God's way. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. But see, people who won't be holy, they can't be established as holy. Yeah. If you live like the devil, you are refusing to be holy, and you can't be established as holy. Praise the Lord. It's all about choices. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord and shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. I've got to ask you a question. Do you see a God who wants you to be in poverty here? No. Do you see a God here that wants you to be without? No. Do you know, I love this. Pastor Michael said this to me. He's like, every seed, when you plant it into the ground, you have less than what you started with. But why do you plant it in the ground? Because you know it produces more over time. Every seed you plant, I don't care what kind of seed it is, financial or otherwise, it doesn't matter. Every seed you plant in the ground, you have less than what you started with. Praise the Lord. You know, when we planted the Corey Church, we have less, Mayville has less than what we started with. We have less days. We have less money. We have less ability in the natural speaking, you know what I mean? But because we plant that seed's going to grow. There will be a day. You know, see, this is we have a concept in this church. You know, we don't just tell our people to tithe. You know, our church is all tithe. This church tithes to the Jamestown Church because the Jamestown Church is the one that sent it. And that's right and good. And we give, too. We do. Out of the money that comes in here, we tithe. Well, guess what? There will be a day when that church in Corey is standing on its own and it's prospering and it's going to tithe. Guess where it tithes? Right back here. Amen. So then there'll be other things that you see, that's the way that it works. The blessing of the Lord, He doesn't remove from us, He increases us. God is always trying to increase us. And there's always gonna be naysayers. You gotta learn this right now. Not everybody's, if they don't come sit in church, they're not gonna understand why you do what you do. If they don't get touched by the Lord, they're not gonna understand what it's like to be touched by the Lord. You know, see, I could go to Walmart and go up to people, start talking about dancing in the Holy Ghost, and they would think I'm an absolute flake and nut and fruit. There's a lot of people, maybe in this church today, that even when I say that, they think of that. But you understand, when you have the hand of the Lord on you, when somebody lays hands on you and you break out in a dance or you fall under the power of God, listen, there ain't no question about it. Praise the Lord. That doesn't mean that every time somebody lays hands that there's going to be that, whatever. But you understand that Lord will become real to you. I remember, I love the story of Josh. He told me, Josh is a very reserved, if you haven't been able to tell, a very reserved man. Josh doesn't, he's not like overly loud. He isn't overly in your face. He isn't overly just like, and he told me this very thing. When he came up the first time, I think, was it to get filled with the Holy Spirit or was it just to have hands laid on you for something else? I don't, what's that? Just to be hands laid on you for something. He didn't remember what it was about, or I don't remember what it was about. It doesn't matter. But he said, he's even told me, he said, when I was going up, he's like, I ain't going to fall. Praise the Lord. But guess what? And I didn't even hit him hard. Amen. That's the best kind, right? Hallelujah. It's a sign and wonder. I remember for 5 years, my pastor would lay hands on me, and nothing. 5 years. Nothing. I never feel anything. It would never, I was just like, this is like, whatever. But see, the thing is in those 5 years, I got to know my pastor. I was an usher, and they made me an usher. One of the things I loved about my pastor is that everything he preached, he did. And I got to watch this. I watched it secretly. He didn't even know I was watching. Maybe he did, I don't know. But, as I was, as an usher, I would collect the tithes and the offerings. And I would see week after, because in the early stages of Jamestown Church, you know, there was a lot less. So you would see, and it's not that we were looking at people's offerings, but when you're taking stuff down and recording, we would do all that as ushers back then. That was what our job was, and so we knew what people would give. And I saw every single week what this man gave. Offering after offering after offering. Everything he preached, he did. I remember standing before him one day in his office when I was mentoring with him early on, and I said, Pastor, I said, I don't know. I was like, we've been tithing, and it just doesn't seem like anything's changing in our lives. And he said to me, he said, brother, he said, I'm a tither. I'm a giver. He said, and I knew that because I was an usher, and I saw that. And he said, you know, he said, I sit here and I preach prosperity every single, or you know, all the time. He preaches it, not every single week, but he preaches prosperity and the blessing of the Lord. He said, they came today and shut off, or today or yesterday, the other day, or whatever, it doesn't matter. He said, and they shut off my gas because I couldn't afford to pay the bill. And it dawned on me. I was like, wait a minute here. See, that's when a lot of people give up. Because they say, see, it doesn't work. But see, now he continued to do it. I'm going to tell you what, his gas bill don't get shut off anymore. Amen? He drives, at that time, he drove like this really super old car. It was a clunker and falling apart and stuff. He drives a really nice one today. Why? Because the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow to it. See, that's what God does over time, of faithfulness and faithfulness. He increases people to the place where it's undeniable. And see, that's the thing. You get people like me. It's like they don't, like, I'm sold out to this doctrine. I couldn't preach it otherwise. Praise the Lord. You could, I mean, you would find the holes in it. I couldn't preach it otherwise. I'm sold out to this. Why do I live my life according? Because it's true. And see, that's what God is calling us all to do. Praise God. Are you guys moving that time? Somebody, Bob, leave that clock alone back there. Praise God. We're going to have to put it up higher where you can't reach it. Praise the Lord. And the Lord will grant you to be you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body and the increase of your livestock and the produce of your ground in the land which the Lord swore to your... You'll notice that too. In the land that he promised. Where does God have you? If you're in the right place, you'll prosper. If you're not, you won't. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Think about that the next time you want to just go church hopping. Yeah. Find out where God has you. Get planted there and grow. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. You will, the Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. How many want to be the head and not the tail? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You know, a dog's breath is bad, but it ain't bad. It ain't as bad as the other end. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know, I ain't lying. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to be the head, not the tail. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can brush me, not wipe me. That's what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Keep it clean. We'll gargle, but praise God. Oh my God. And the Lord will make you the head, not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. Well, I'll tell you what, if anybody's sleeping, they're not sleeping now. Hallelujah. What's he talking about? You shall be above only and not be beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. The word gods is lowercase. Do you realize that whatever you serve, whatever you give your time to, whatever you put above God is your God? Everything. It could be a spouse. It could be a friend. It could be a parent. It could be a child. That one stepped on something. Praise the Lord. It could be a child. Whatever you put above God, there's nothing that I put above God. My wife, I love her with all my heart, but I don't put her above God in my life. I love all three of these kids with all my heart, but I don't put any of them above God. I'm going to serve God first. Serve God first. I don't care if they like it or not. And they do like it. Why? Because they follow their daddy. They see their daddy blessed, and they want to be blessed like daddy. Amen? Praise the Lord. And the blessing that they see, I'm going to tell you right now, the blessing that they see, Marky, when he was first born, he lived a little bit of life of hell on earth. I'm going to tell you, that's the truth. Because his mama and I couldn't be right. But the thing is that Marky has been able to see the change in my life. He's watched it. He's watched me go from that one, and he didn't know that I was getting high all the time and stuff like that at the time. He didn't know that I was that I wasn't being a good dad, that I was, he didn't realize all the little things, you know what I mean? But he saw the change. He saw his daddy go from somebody who didn't serve anybody to one who served God with all his heart, amen? And see, here's the thing, and I've told my kids, I ain't perfect. I make mistakes. I make a lot of mistakes. You know, I didn't have a lot of great example of how to raise kids, as far as from a father's perspective. I didn't have a lot of teaching in me to be able to know how to do it right. And so my kids, I practice on them. Amen. And I've told them, I was like, Daddy's gonna always be perfect, but one thing I do is I try to do my best to stay repentant before all my family. And I do my best to do that in front of the church too. If I'm wrong, I'll say I'm wrong. If I find out that I'm wrong, I'll repent for it, you know, because I want to live that kind of life. But see, they've watched. He's been able to watch him more than the other two even have been able to watch my life change. Why does he want to serve God? Because he sees his daddy serving God. Yeah. And the same thing with you. You people, I know we have other parents in here with young children. Your kids will follow in your path. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Whatever you show them, they'll do that. Amen. I know examples in here of, and I'm not going to go into it just because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I know of examples in here of people who have followed, who have given me testimony of wonderful things that they've seen in their kids since they've been serving God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. We're going to end here, Psalm 35:27. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. Look at this. Who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. But I'm going to do you one better. We are no longer servants. Hallelujah. We've been made children. And the children eat better than the servants do. If he had pleasure in the prosperity of his servants, what does he want for his children? Hallelujah. If you're a child of God, hallelujah, then you need to get this in you. You need to get this down in you. Oh, I got goose pimples all over my legs right now just because it's so good. Hallelujah. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his child. Hallelujah. Well, I'm a child and I'm going to get excited about it. I'm going to break out of my shell. I'm going to shout for joy because God wants me prosperous. He wants me full. He doesn't want me in lack. He doesn't want me behind. He wants me to be the head. He wants me to be above. He wants me to go into the promised land. He wants me to get everything that he's paid for me. Hallelujah. And by God, I'm going to get it. I'm not going to leave anything behind. I'm not leaving. No, there ain't somebody going to come up behind me and say, hey, he didn't pick that up, so I'm going to pick it up. No, I'm walking in everything God has for me. And you can do the same thing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, that you're so good. You're so good. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for correction. Father, I know today's message was real corrective in a lot of ways, but Father, you just want to take us higher, and I want to take us higher too. Lord, we thank you for it. We love you, Lord. We love what you're doing. We love your word. We love your righteous cause, Lord. We love your direction. We love your people, Lord. Oh, glory. Glory, glory, glory. We love you, Lord, because you're so good. You first loved us, and Father, that is so much to us. I think of that day when I finally broke free from the bondage of not knowing that you wanted to prosper me to live a prosperous life. I remember always thinking, Lord, where's my inheritance? I didn't have that teaching, that upbringing. I didn't have that solid foundation. I didn't have that Father putting those things in me. And then, Lord, that day, I remember, Daddy, you spoke to me. You spoke to me audibly in my car. I was on Buffalo Street, turning onto North Main Street. I remember the exact spot. And you spoke to me, Lord. And you said to me, Daddy, you said, I'm going to be your father. And Lord, and then it wasn't days later when I was in your word and I found it written in your word that you will be a father to them who have no father. And Lord, you said you signed it, you sealed it right there in my heart. And so, Lord, I know that everything that I walk into in life, it's a result of you, it's a result of my connection with you. But you're the best father that there could be. And I thank you, Lord, that you do that for me. I thank you, Lord, that you know my heart and that you show me your goodness. Lord, that you take pleasure in my prosperity. That it blesses you just like it blessed any good father when their child does well. And Father, so I thank you. You guys, I hope you don't mind me having a moment here with the Lord. Because he's good. He's good. But I'm saying this in this prayer, not just for his sake or my sake, but for yours. It didn't matter where you come from. All that matters is where you're going. It didn't matter what you had. All that matters is what you got. Praise the Lord. And if you got the Lord, if you got Jesus, you got everything. See, what happened was, Jesus came because people were separated from God. Not because God wanted them separated, but because they separated themselves to the point where they couldn't get back to him. And so Jesus came to bridge that gap and to bring many people back to him. And that's what we talk about when we say being born again. That when you're born again, you get born into a new family. You get born into a new parent. Now, you still have parents here on earth, and we don't reject that. I love my father very much. I love my stepfather very much. I love my mom, as you know. We don't reject our parents, but we know that we have a more perfect parent who wants us and will help us and will take us in everything. But the only way to him is through his son, Jesus Christ. Because it was such a great sacrifice that he paid. So with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, nobody looking around, we give this opportunity every service that we have because we want people to understand. It didn't matter if you go to church 1,000 years. It doesn't matter if you read your Bible every day. The only thing that matters is, did you receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Because the Bible says that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. But he's a free door. All you got to do is say, yes, Lord, I believe. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So if that's you, if you've never received Jesus and you'd like to today, all heads are bowed, all eyes closed, nobody's looking around. We're not going to call you up here. What we're going to do is we're going to have you lift your hand right there in your seat, and I'll have you put it right back down, and then we'll all pray a prayer together. Praise God. And that's as simple as it is. It's guaranteed entrance, first of all, into heaven. But then above and beyond that, it's guaranteed access to everything that God has. So if that's you, if you've never received Jesus and you'd like to today, just go ahead. All heads are bowed, all eyes are closed. Just throw up your hand real quick. Thank you, Lord. I see that hand. Hallelujah. You can put it down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there any other hands? Hallelujah. Is there anybody, other people that want? Hallelujah. Glory, glory. I want to give one more opportunity. We also give this every week. Maybe you received Jesus, but you walked away. And I don't mean you made a few mistakes, but I mean you walked away. And you want to come back. See, know this. This is the greatest thing about God. Is that he's willing to take you back. Now, that's not an excuse to not live for him, you understand? Because you can, the Bible says, frustrate that grace. We have to make a choice to live for him. But if we make mistakes along the way, he's willing to take us back. So if that's you, if you've walked away from God and you want to come back, you want to get back into his graces, he'll accept you today. Same way. So if that's you, just lift up your hand real quick. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. You can put that hand down. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we had some hands, so we're gonna pray a prayer. Hallelujah. And I want you to know this. If maybe you were too shy to raise your hand, that's okay. Because it's not raising your hand. We like to see who we're praying for, because we like to know, we like to see how we're being effective, you know. We like to see that we're reaching people, amen. But it's okay if you didn't raise your hand, because it's not raising your hand that does it. It's what you believe and what you confess, and then how you live, amen. So if that's you, if you raise your hand, pray this prayer. If you didn't raise your hand and you want to, you can still pray this prayer and it'll save you. See, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for Jesus. I thank you that you died for me, that I could be saved. Wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.